Hi, everyone. It's Brian Kilmeade here. Are you tired of those uncomfortable dress shirts, especially when they bunch up under a sweater? If so, then you must check out Collars & Co., makers of the Dress Collar Polo. Listen up. These shirts are four-way stretch, buttery soft polos with firm dress collars on them, so they give you the dress shirt look, but extremely comfortable polo feel. You can wear them with anything, under a sweater, with a blazer, or by themselves as an elevated polo. They work for any occasion. These polos are perfect, whether it's in the office, on a golf course, or a night out. Collars & Co. is exploding and have gone viral on social media thanks to the $1 million investment they received on Shark Tank from Mark Cuban and Peter Jones. You don't have to worry about collars that flop down and spread out. They stay firm and sharp all day. It's an amazing array of sweaters, quarter zips, pants, and outerwear. If you're looking for the performance dress shirt or polo that looks great all day, check out collarsandco.com. Use promo code Brian for 15% off of any purchase of $100 or more. That's promo code Brian.
Not sure how to tackle your taxes? Are you sweating the small print? You may be experiencing FOMO, the fear of messing up. The answer? Using TurboTax on Intuit Credit Karma. They help you get your biggest refund, and then we help you do more with it with a personalized plan designed to help you hit your money goals. It's time to take your taxes to the max. Start filing today in the Credit Karma app.
The only thing I ask the president to do are two things. I get more credit or blame than I deserve, and that is that I want him to have other posters at the table than just listening to one. And B, I wanted him to assure the public that he could serve the term. They didn't agree with that. And so he then decided to step aside. It was his decision.
So that is the most ridiculous, dumb, inaccurate spin that Nancy Pelosi is trying to, I guess, in her final interviews while still in power, though she'll probably wield some power in retirement, to inaccurately play her role. Remember, she repeatedly called up Joe Biden and said, you got to make your decision. He says he's going to stay. Make your decision. Essentially, she wanted to go. She had to step up. And actually, she said because Obama wouldn't step up and no one else would step forward, she had to step up and tell Joe Biden to bow out, put your other pollster on. Remember the story? I just simply want another pollster. No, she was listening to the wrong pollster. Why? Because the people telling Joe Biden to keep fighting on were making $1 zillion. Michael LaRosa lived this, a former special assistant to President Biden, chief spokesman for the First Lady, House Democratic Leadership, and U.S. Senate Communications Director. Michael, welcome back. Are you surprised that the former speaker seems to be trying to spin things her direction?
I think I'm not surprised that she's trying to sort of downplay the sharpness and acuteness that the Bidens felt by her at the time. And I mean, she is right that, and we found this out much later, Brian, but she is, and this is this is stunning, by the way, this is unheard of, but Biden had the three best pollsters you can have in the Democratic Party. The three, like Jeff Pollock, Molly Murphy, and there was another one, I forget his name. Maybe it was a John Hart. But the president never spoke to his pollsters. He had one person giving him information.
Who was that?
Based on that polling, Mike Donilon.
Yep.
And yes, that makes sense. Okay, fine. Yes. And, I mean, it doesn't make sense, but if you understand Biden world, yes, that makes sense because it was so insular that the president was only ever speaking to Mike and Steve, and information was funneled through Mike and Steve. And to hear the reports after the fact that these pollsters for a year never spoke to Biden. It is stunning. It is malpractice. It's disappointing. It's a betrayal. It's just, there's no words for it. And so she's not wrong that he did need to hear from not only other pollsters, his own pollsters. And he wasn't hearing from his own pollsters.
Well, how about the fact that Mike Donilon is making a ton of money to run his reelection campaign, right? Doesn't that have a lot to do with it?
Yeah. And like, you know, according to Jake and Alex's book, Biden said, pay Mike whatever he wants. And look, I get loyalty. I understand Mike has been with them since 84. I understand. Like he was there through the depths, the highs and lows, the lows of the 1987 campaign. He's someone that it's very rare that you get the trust and the respect from both Biden and the first lady, and he and Steve were those people. So I get it. But I mean, certainly the Bidens never made a lot of money. I mean, I know the Republicans think they did, but the people around them are making much more money off of them than they were.
So I want you
That's
to
hear the ironic part.
How about this? Now, unless you want to correct the record, Michael, it's Kamala Harris outmaneuvered Nancy Pelosi in the end. Because Nancy Pelosi won an open primary. Obama won an open primary. She consolidated power like Jerry Maguire did and Tom Cruise did on Jerry Maguire. Called everybody up possible. Stay with me, stay with me, stay with me. And she wired the game. But listen to it, how this former speaker portrays it now. Cut 39.
She ran a great campaign. She turned out so many more people than who would have voted. I think she doesn't deserve enough credit for what the outcome of the election in terms of we would have lost probably 14 seats in that election if she had not been the candidate.
So she doesn't believe that. Nobody believes okay. She ran a good campaign.
Well, like everything, it's a little bit... it's a little bit of a mixed bag. So Pelosi, on one hand, what she's trying to refocus that conversation on is the loss that Democrats could have faced in the House if Biden stayed at the top of the ticket. And yeah, in California, it helped because a lot of those seats we lost in 2022 in those suburbs of L.A. and Newport Beach and in Orange County. Having Kamala helped in some of those places. Mm-hmm. But that said, 9% less voters turned out in California to vote for their own vice president, their own home state vice president, than in 2020 when she was vice president. So there was a huge voter drop off in spite of the fact that she was on the ticket in her own state. She is Pelosi, you know, I don't think is. Look, Kamala had it wired from the beginning because. They were ready with a whipping operation from the beginning. They were really? Ready. They were set to go. And if you talk to even Manchin's people, they will tell you we tried. I think some other people, JB and I know Manchin, a couple of other people did try to make some calls, but those delegates were locked down. Now Trump would have done the same thing. That's a good use of power. It's a good use of your seniority, your ability, the resources you have. But you're right also that, you know, most people would have preferred a little bit of some options at the time. But her team was on it. It was impressive. I give Sheila Nix, her chief of staff, and Lorraine Vols a lot of credit for being ready and jumping on it. And hey, can you blame them? Now, yeah, I can blame them for a lot of things that they did wrong tactically during the general. But the way they consolidated right. The Democratic delegates was fast and furious.
Right. And I'll tell you what, picking the wrong candidate is number two. And remember, they finally sat down and didn't do any interviews. When they did, Waltz was in a higher chair and she got all insulted. She was scared to do interviews. It was just crazy. The other guy was talking six times a day. That's just nuts.
Oh, not even just. First of all, yes, you're right. They didn't do an interview until August 30th. She got the... she basically locked it up the end of June. That's unforgivable. You can't keep the press at bay. The press, the 99.999% of the voters only meet their candidates through the press. So there's no way for anybody to get to know her if she's hiding. And then the first interview she does is with Waltz and with Dana Bash, and it just didn't go well. And then they start throwing spaghetti up against the wall to do everything that they could. But voting had already started in September, and it was too late.
Yeah.
And that's emblematic of the caution, the culture of caution in the Democratic Party that needs to be fixed.
So, Michael Rosa, as we look at the top five candidates that you hope to see in the debate stage after the midterm elections, this is all we're going to be talking about. Who are the five that you want to see in the debate stage for the Democrats?
Five? Wow. I mean, I want to see Rahm. He's the only one I think that I really feel much for at this point. I'm going to give all of them the benefit of the doubt. I mean, I'd like to see Rahm. I'd like to see Andy Beshear. I'd like to see non-politicians. I'd like to see a Mark Cuban. I'd like to see somebody who runs that doesn't have much to lose and doesn't behave like the careful politician, our own sort of disruptor to the establishment, but someone who people will listen to because they have some authenticity to them, not because that they're politically calculating. So Rahm, I want to see Andy Beshear. I'd like to see Mark Cuban. I'd like to see Pritzker because I think he's a decent communicator. I'm not really with his governing style at the moment. I'm not that far left. So, but I do think that we need to have those debates. And I think we're going to get them. I think there's going to be a lot of Democrats who are going to be talking about AIPAC and dark money and, you know, shifting the conversation. But Rahm will be the one that you will see kind of weaponize common sense. And that's what I want to see.
I would hope so, too, because I want center left, center right. I don't want extreme either direction. Scared me, the No Kings rally, when I saw all those those Russian flag. The communist flags. I'm going, are you kidding me? Islamists? Really? You heard Tony Blair come forward and said the Democratic Party in both countries, U.S. and U.K., have to divorce themselves from Islamists. Not saying Muslims, from Islamists. Because how do your philosophies overlap? I hope they don't.
Well, how do we distance ourselves from that when we have the mayor of the largest city in the world, who's often sympathetic to, you know, a terrorist group in the Middle East, Hamas? I don't get how we can escape some of that, because that platform, you can't yield that platform easily. He's the mayor of New York City, but we did this to ourselves. So we have to figure out, because that is not going to help us win seats in the midterm. And that's not going to help us win in 28 either. But the key, Brian, what to watch for, I think, and this hasn't been talked about yet, for those 2028 debates that will begin in a year, the partnerships, the media partnerships, who is asking the questions? Because if those candidates are being asked questions from, and I saw this, I watched some of the debate that the DNC chairman had, that chairman's race had on MSNBC, and the questions put them into boxes that could only make them run left.
Yep.
And in the end, one of Kamala's biggest hurdles was overcoming herself and the things she said in the primary back in 2020. In these debates or for these questionnaires that these groups make you fill out in order to, you know, get their support. And that's going to be fundamental. And I really hope Martin is careful about who they partner with on these debates, because they're going to box Democrats in rhetorically. And it's going to hurt everybody. It's going to hurt the party in the end.
Some days it feels like there is no pause. Feedings, diaper changes, and late night wake ups. And somehow you're still trying to steal a few minutes to yourself. I've really come to appreciate how much having a calm, comfortable home can change how you feel at the end of the day. That's why I have been loving Cozy Earth. Go to CozyEarth.com and use my code GAINES, GAINES, for up to 20% off. Their bedding, loungewear, pajamas, they're not just soft. They're the little oasis you cling to when the day has been nonstop. After the baby finally drifts off or nap time actually happens, slipping into their sheets or pulling on their pajamas feels like a hug you didn't know you needed. Even 5 minutes wrapped in their classic cuddle blanket is enough to feel like you've caught your breath. Sleep has become this precious, almost magical thing in our house. Cozy Earth makes those stolen moments of rest feel real, calm, cozy, and a little indulgent without ever feeling high maintenance. And the best part, you can try it risk-free with their 100-night sleep trial, so you can see the difference for yourself before fully committing. If you are ready to take the little comfort wins seriously and make home the place you recharge, go to CozyEarth.com and use my code GAINES, GAINES, for up to 20% off. Once you try it, you will see why so many people make Cozy Earth part of creating a home that feels calm and comfortable and truly lived in, even when life is messy, loud, and full of newborn nights.
Nearly home. Isn't home where we all want to be? Reba here for Realtor.com, the pros' number one most trusted app. If you're hearing me, I'm going to assume you're awake. And if you aren't, because while you're snoozing, someone else might be finding your dream home. That's where Realtor.com comes in. With over 500,000 new real listings straight from the pros every month, that's a lot of chances to find the place you've been dreaming of. Whether you're searching for a two-story mid-century with a pool or a little extra space with a spa-inspired bathroom, Realtor.com can help you find it today. So quit hitting that snooze button. Realtor.com isn't sleeping on finding your dream home, and neither should you. Download the Realtor.com app today, 'cause you're nearly home. Make it real with Realtor.com.
Pro's number one most trusted app based on August 2024 proprietary survey. Over 500,000 new listings every month based on average new for sale and rental listings, February 2024 through January 2025.
So I want you to hear Rahm Emanuel, who's weighing in, a little disappointed me on the war. He didn't acknowledge really that Iran's been an enemy of every administration, but he was on the Fifth Column podcast. And here's what he said generally about the Democratic Party. Cut 43.
We lost the plot. We as Democrats nationally, from Latinx to defunding the police, to police organizations are all racist, to bringing a set of cultural wars to our schools. We are on the losing side of those cultural wars. Full stop. You are worried about bathroom access and locker room access. Why don't you focus on classroom excellence? You have 50% of our kids not reading at grade level.
Well, they can just say we can do both.
You've proven you can't. Because you've permitted a 30-year low in reading and math scores, and nobody seems to be calling the whistle on this. We've lost the plot.
Why?
Because the party got unanchored. Every one of our most successful electoral presidents anchored themselves in what I call middle-class values and values that are universal, at least in this country, ascribed to. We went from acceptance to advocacy. Big difference. And I'll just take one on that I shouldn't. So here it goes. I remember fighting for Title IX. The reason we are champions in women's sports in the Olympics and soccer, hockey, etc., is Title IX. Why would you undercut the premise of Title IX with the ability of trans men playing in women's sports? To me, it's insane.
It's baffling.
You're undermining one of the great accomplishments we as a country, but also spearheaded by the Democratic Party, Title IX. And we're undercutting it.
He's 100% right on almost everything he said. Right? You
absolutely. Agree? Absolutely. I mean, and I don't even say this because I was asked this question. I teach a class and a student asked me about there was the night of the day of the Supreme Court arguments about trans athletes. And I said, look, my experience tells me that this is a common sense fairness argument because I was a college swimmer. And so I know my most liberal, progressive friends who are my ex-teammates and ex-athletes, some of them are coaches now. They know this is a common sense thing. And I'm not informed just because I happen to be identify as LGBT. That's not what this is about. It's about biologics and fairness. And so Rahm, but importantly, Rahm's right. I mean, I've heard him say before, and he's right about this, you know, Kennedy, Clinton, and Obama, frankly, they had to show that they were culturally in touch with everybody, with the mainstream of the country. Otherwise, they wouldn't be accepted. Kennedy for his faith, Clinton for, you know, it was during post LA riots and there was a crime epidemic. He had to show that he could have that sister soldier moment, that he could reprimand our party when it was necessary.
Yeah.
Obama had to reprimand his old pastor in order to show that the rest of the country, the mainstream, the independent voters, that you could trust us culturally before you get to economic issues of competence. And right now, most of the country doesn't believe that the Democrats are in line with mainstream common sense cultural right. values.
You know, and
until they do,
right,
they won't trust us on anything else.
We had Jason Crow in here, you know, so obviously a service, special ops. He would not answer that question that Rahm Emanuel just answered. He's like, it doesn't matter. It rarely happens. That's the traditional answer of Democrats. It rarely happens. Republicans are trying to make this a big issue. You know, have a heart.
And
Gavin Newsom says, have a heart.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I have a lot of respect for Crow. I think he's ambitious. I think he wants to be on that vice presidential ticket, if not at the top. That's the kind of shit that is going to get Democrats in trouble. Right. People will forgive a lot of things about candidates. They'll forgive you for changing your mind. They will forgive you for your vulnerabilities. They will forgive you for mistakes or gaffes. They won't forgive phoniness, and they don't forgive cowardice.
Right.
And especially you got to answer the question.
Especially, it's just logic. He was actually upset.
And if it happens so infrequently, then you shouldn't have a problem answering the question.
Michael LaRosa, thanks so much. Instant analysis. We're going to be doing a lot of that as we get closer and closer to the midterms and get through this war. Michael, thank you.
Sounds good.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With a message for everyone paying big wireless way too much. Please, for the love of everything good in this world, stop. With Mint, you can get premium wireless for just $15 a month. Of course, if you enjoy overpaying, no judgments, but that's weird. Okay, one judgment. Anyway, give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan, equivalent to $15 per month required. Intro rate for 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See full terms at mintmobile.com.